T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Danny Meringue.
I found 2 empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number 3, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday. All right, let's dive back into football, shall we? Had a great conversation with Shante Leggins, the head coach of UP. With Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com, as well as where you can find any of this show. Go check it all out. All right, as we were breaking down this the fallout from the game formerly known as the Civil War, we were talking about how this is going to be fascinating to see where the log jam kind of sorts itself out in the Pac-12, because of tiebreakers, Utah is heading to the Pac-12 championship game where they would take on USC on, is that Friday? Friday night?
Yep.
And behind them, you've got 10-2 UW, who is 7-2 in conference play. Then you have 9-3 Oregon, 9-3 Utah, 9-3 Oregon State, 9-3 UCLA. If USC makes the college football playoff, I mean, there's a very good likelihood that UW is the team that ends up going to the Rose Bowl and representing the Pac-12.
So weird.
And then it becomes, all right, how do the rest of the Bulls sort out everybody else? Because it's when you have a bunch of teams that are equal conference record or equal overall record, they can kind of just pick and choose where they want at that point, and becomes brands going to different places. And no matter where you look, you'll find different places for Oregon, Utah, Oregon State, and UCLA based on the bowl shuffle. You could see Oregon State anywhere from the Sun Bowl, potentially the Holiday Bowl. Oregon is looking like Alamo, Vegas, or the Holiday Bowl, which are all great bowls,
yeah,
if you're in Oregon's shoes. But the fact of the matter is that it seems like a lot of the schools, they feel far differently over how 9-3 tastes in their mouth. Because for Oregon State, and rightfully so, that's a hell of a season. Any of these teams, by the way, whether you're talking Oregon, Oregon State, Utah, or UCLA, all at 9-3, that is a hell of a football season. And it's a great sign of the health of the conference as a whole that you have got half of your conference sitting there with 9-3 records or better.
Looking at where things sit right now, the Pac-12 has 6 teams in the top 21. Do you feel like Oregon State should be ranked higher than 21?
I mean, they will be when the college football playoff rankings come out, because that's where they were. I mean, they will be, yeah.
So you could realistically have 6 teams.
You should have 6 teams in the top 20.
Probably in the top 18.
Yeah. 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 I mean, they'll probably...
Think about that. But say that, because it's a third of the top 18.
Sure.
Is the Pac-12.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a season for the conference.
And guess what? When you win non-conference games...
It's amazing how different things look.
Yeah. And the conference does feel different. I mean, we were talking last hour about how we've seen, you know, 7 of the 12 teams have turned over their head coaches, if you include this coaching cycle, within the last 2 seasons. The longest tenured coach is Kyle Whittingham at 18 years, the next closest has been there a third as long in Justin Wilcox, who's only been at Cal for six. There's been turnover, and for turnover for a lot of years meant inconsistency within the Pac-12. Look, you got some damn good coaches in the Pac-12. And I think where you look at 9-3 for Oregon State, they are through the moon because they've got their coach. And they got not just one of the best coaches in the Pac-12. If you listen to Joel Klatt, who was on with the Herd earlier today, it's beyond just the Pac-12.
He fits there, obviously, you know, having played there. And Colin, I'll just say this. If you were to ask me what coach does more with less than anybody in the country, it would be easy to say Kyle Whittingham, but the actual correct answer is Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. I think he is one of the best coaches in all of college football, and nobody knows about him, right? Because he's in Corvallis, Oregon.
Yeah.
He's done a phenomenal job there.
Going again, back to Pac-12 Media Day.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we kept talking about, he fits this program to a T, and he's building something.
Yeah.
Remember I said, I could see this team winning nine games. And everyone's like, ah, come on, man. Come on. Come on. There was just something about it. Now, is this lightning in a bottle? Because they have so many fifth and sixth year guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be an interesting story across college football, not just at Oregon State,
yeah,
but how it looks with so many teams that have so many veteran guys, and with them leaving, what do these different universities look like over the next two or three years? But I tell you this, Jonathan Smith over the last 4 years has built upon something every single year, and they took the monumental leap this year. Where do they go from here? I don't know, but I tell you right now, if this is who they are, 8 to 10 wins every year, that is a hell of a place for the Beavs to be.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it for Oregon on the flip side, 9-3 is, it's not a good feeling right now to be 9-3. It's actually, you know, I tweeted this out, and Duck fans were getting all emotional and being like, I can't believe that. 9-3 with your three losses being Georgia, Washington, and Oregon State. That is, like, that's one of the worst ways you can go 9-3 because of the way that it all played out, right? Yeah, I mean, in honestly, there's only so many characters you use in a tweet. And look, I'm not going to sit there and fight with people on the internet over those three losses, the way that 49-3 happened in Atlanta and being there and watching that and just seeing that, uh-oh, you know, that is not good. The losing to your two rivals, the way that it happened, where you had victory and you escaped victory from the jaws of defeat.
No, you snatched victory from the jaws of defeat.
No, yeah. No, you didn't.
The other way around.
It's the other way around. Yeah. Like, you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You snatched
defeat from the jaws of victory.
You were up 21 points in the third quarter, late in the third quarter against your rival. Like, that stings. You lost to UW at home in a game where you knew exactly what they were going to do, and your quarterback was hobbled in both of them. Like, that sucks. Like, and when Bo Nix went down against Washington, that sucks. But that's part of the game of football. It's the war of attrition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams go through a lot of injuries over the course of the year. It's just the way that this all played out, where your two rivals are the only two conference losses. Like, that sucks, and you have great expectations at Oregon, and you should. And this is the part about it, is that, like, this is why I don't get into it with people on the internet, because my goodness, 9-3 is still a great year. It is a fantastic year. The Oregon Ducks can go 10-3 this year in their first year under Dan Lanning as their head football coach. You go back and you go to the start of the year, you probably say, yeah, it's a pretty dang good year. We'll take that year, is going 10-3. But if I tell you,
those losses are two.
You get the doors blown off you by Georgia on national television, mm-hmm. and you lose to your two rivals in backbreaking,
heartbreaking fashion.
That sucks, and that is not a good thing. It's okay to admit it. It is okay to admit that you get pissed when it's UW in Oregon State. It would feel a hell of a lot better if those two losses in conference play were to UCLA and Utah, and not to UW in Oregon State. That's what rivalries are for. And winning rivalry games and finding that one, and that one stinging so much against Oregon State because they were the tougher team.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that pounded the ball in the final moments. They're the ones that said, we know what our identity is, and we're going to impose our will on you. That sucks, and that should suck. And that does leave a bitter taste. But still, the fact of the matter is, you have a first-year head coach. You've got still a relatively young core. Your offensive line is going to be one that you sit there and you look at for next year and you go, okay, we got our O-line and our quarterback position. They've recruited really well at the O-line. Mm-hmm. And you do, it's not like you have just, you're replacing four starters that, you know, nobody else has played in their stead. You have got the ability to get a couple of guys back too if they want to take that extra COVID year. But in the grand schemes, you had a lot of replace on the offensive side of the football, and hope that your defense grows tremendously heading into next year, because they're recruiting in the right direction. They've got a great young head coach in Dan Lanning. You've got a big hire at offensive coordinator now with Kenny Dillingham leaving. Where do you go from here? It's not to say that this year wasn't a success. It's heartbreaking to lose the way you did, though, to those three teams that you did. That sucks.
I'll say it. It's comical.
Yeah.
It is, because we joked about this on Friday. When I brought this up, I said, what if I told you, Duck fans, you'd go 9-3, but your losses would be tremendous?
Yeah.
Would you be okay with it? And you kind of looked at me like, no. They're not going to like that.
You shouldn't.
But should you really be bothered by this season? Overall, when you take a step back from how painful those two losses in particular were, should this have been the expectation for a first-year head coach? Bo Nix was not looked at the way he is now to start this season.
No, but the expectation was that this team was a year away last year. And
that's fair.
It was a team that should have been battling for a Pac-12 title. And look, for anybody that says that, like, look, we talked about this earlier. Coaching has been, you can hang a lot of that loss to coaching. Against Oregon State, the going for it on fourth downs, the special teams miscues and blunders that they had. But at the same time, the physicality of Oregon and the physicality of Oregon State is what it came down to in the trenches. It's exactly what happened last year under a completely different staff against Utah. The difference this year and last year was Utah beat the brakes off you.
Yeah.
You know, and it was Utah, not Oregon State, who did it.
And it hurts less.
But that physicality, that identity, they knew exactly who they were. And look, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. If you missed it, go back and check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast. There was every single thing that could go wrong, it did go wrong, in giving the Beavs a short field on those last three scoring drives that they had. last three scoring drives from a turnover on downs in minus territory to your punter fumbling in backed up against it. Like, Oregon
All
State capitalized,
yes.
But Oregon melted down and Oregon State earned a victory. Those two things happen, and it's okay to say those two things happen.
Do you think on the physical profile, even though they did get it handed to them in the final quarter by the Beavs, do you think this team had a different physical profile this year and a different physical and mental toughness this year that they did not have last year?
I do, because of the way that the Georgia game went. I don't think they rattle off eight straight wins under last year.
And running the way they did.
I don't believe that the loss to UW, they bounce back and the defense plays as well as they did against Utah last year.
Yeah.
I do think there's a lot more resiliency in this year.
And I think that does come from the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So for all of the hand-wringing of Dan Lanning Monday morning, I still think that there's far more positives to pull from this season.
Sure.
And growth going forward than there is, as painful as those losses were.
And you know what? We're going to find out a hell of a lot more about this staff, too, over the next couple weeks before the early signing period opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to close on what was, on Thanksgiving, they got like three recruits in minutes or something.
Two four-stars and a three-star, I think.
Yeah. That is something that you got to close hard on this signing period and make sure that the pen meets the paper and you get them on campus.
And they're all from Texas.
It's the lifeblood of your program.
503-250-1080.
That is the Fan Text Line. We'll get to some of your feedback on this. Man, we've gotten through so much college football. We really haven't even talked to anything in the NFL, including some incredible comebacks from yesterday in the NFL. Going for two when you are down one. How do you feel about it? Because we saw it twice yesterday, and it paid off both times. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So much to unpack from the chaos at college football, the coaching carousel. We haven't even touched the NFL yet. And I don't even know where
not
to
one bit.
Start after that weekend that was. I mean, you can do your victory lap because are the Raiders back? No, they're not.
No, McDaniels still almost gave that game away, if not for the fantastic ability of one Mr. Jacobs.
Wait, hold on. McDaniels almost tried to give that one away?
Yeah, some game management stuff that it wasn't great.
What are Raider fans complaining about now? As you won two games in a row, and
woo-hoo!
I think didn't they have like 550 yards of offense? And now on the flip side of this, the Seahawks have gone back to they cannot stop a single
anything.
Thing.
No.
So what was it with Josh McDaniels?
Just in general, just some game management stuff. Just third and shorts that they weren't great in, and some playing for the field goal instead of playing for the win going into overtime. There was just some stuff in there that wasn't thrilled with.
When you are playing for the field goal as opposed to the win, is that's an interesting one because like that is kind of what we saw in the LA Cardinals game,
mm-hmm.
and in the Jacksonville Baltimore game was you had two coaches that both of them, Doug Peterson, Brandon Staley, were down one, and instead of going for the tie on the extra point, they said screw it. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to do it on our terms.
Mm-hmm.
And they went for two, and they got it. And both those teams end up winning their games. The field goal, as opposed to being more aggressive and going for a touchdown there, I'm okay with it just based on the fact that your offense was moving the ball as well as they were.
The flip side of this is it's the Raiders, and they've lost every one-score game basically this year.
Yeah.
Try to put this thing away.
But you can't think like that, because what? If you don't get it, then what? You lose another one score game?
Yeah, but at least I think if you err on the aggressive side, you can at least lean on that.
And they went to overtime
and they almost gave it away.
They won.
They did.
No, they almost gave it away. They won. Don't be grumpy Raider fan.
I love DC. Jacobs has been incredible now that they've actually given him the ball after the
DC,
first three games.
Derek Carr. That's Derek
Carr. Jacobs not playing basically the first three games of the season while they tried to trade him because they didn't want to pay him, and has turned into, since basically week four, the best running back in the NFL.
Well, now he's in prime shape. It was all part of the plan. You hold him
just,
out.
Just saving him for the first 4 weeks of the season where they wouldn't give him the ball. They wouldn't trade him. They wouldn't do anything with him. McDaniels basically said, we'll figure it out.
That's it right there. That's what they were doing. This is a slow play. He had over 300 yards of total offense. He was a man on fire. Derek Carr's turnovers didn't bite them in the rear, although they very easily could have. I think if you're a Seahawks fan, though, you're starting to get a little bit worried about the defense's regression, because 500 yards of offense that you're giving up to the Raiders, this is back-to-back weeks where you've been torched on the ground. I think it's 444 yards, if my math is correct, which it usually is not. In the last two games alone, they've given up rushing. They've given up 444 yards rushing in two games.
7.1 yards per carry. It's three more yards per carry than Russell Wilson averaged per pass attempt this week for the Broncos.
Wow.
7 yards. And NFL Next Gen stats said that Jacobs on that, the 86-yarder, was clocked at his highest speed ever in his career at almost 21 miles an hour.
That's fast.
That's a very large man running very fast.
Favorite part of the game was not the 86-yard touchdown run to end the game by Josh Jacobs. No.
It's arguing about what a catch is?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm so done with that conversation. I hate that conversation. No, it's Daryl Taylor, the linebacker for the Seahawks. Do you see him? So you know that interception that Carr threw?
Was that him that came off the field?
On the Seahawks sideline? Daryl Taylor, outside linebacker, was not in the game. He ran off of the sidelines and threw a block.
Yeah.
Threw a block out there, and the officials didn't even catch it. Like, what a ballsy play that one
is. What possesses you on the sideline to be like, I need to get in there?
Hey, because unlike Russell Wilson or Zach Wilson, he's a team guy.
He
wants to be on the field with his boys. That's for damn sure. And he'll do anything he can to get out there. And so he got out there.
I couldn't tell when I watched the film who that was. I saw the outside of the number, and I was like, did he really get on the field
That's
there?
Fantastic. It's one of the best things that you'll see. It rarely happens, but that is the only great takeaway that I took from that game is Daryl Taylor. That's going to be a new play. You know there's going to be some idiot that's going to try to do it too.
Sneak it out there, yeah.
What a perfect storm, though, of like he just ran out, and it was the exact perfect time where the lines judge was looking at the DB coming up the sideline, and he just was like, yeah, me, out there.
I'll tell you what, if you act like you belong there, it happens. Real quick, when I went up to Seattle for Climate Pledge for the preseason game, so they told us we needed to go somewhere to get our credentials to get in the building. So I ended up going through. Climate Pledge has a driveway that goes underneath, right, in the garage. It's kind of old style. And they had my name on a list back there. So I get in on that list, and I just walk down this long driveway underground into the bowels of Climate Pledge, and I just walk right to the locker room and right to the press area. No credentials on, no nothing. And everybody in PR is like, how did you do that? I'm like, walk with purpose, man.
Yeah, if you act like you've been there. Nobody. He had a uniform on. He belonged there.
Nobody stops you. Like I said, he went out there with. He didn't like look around like, oh, should I be doing this? He just went out there, man, and he just full commit.
Wow.
Walk with purpose, man.
Got it.
Fake it till you make it.
That game, the Seahawks and the Raiders, was a fantastic finish. It was one of several fantastic finishes, including. I mentioned it before. The Jaguars going for two against the Baltimore Ravens, and they pull off a win on what could be the drive that says Trevor Lawrence is the guy.
What a game from Lawrence, man.
It was. And that final drive was the punctuation mark on it. We'll talk about that after Rust with SportsCenter.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Some wild finishes and wild games in the NFL yesterday. Sunday Night Football, 363 yards rushing by the Eagles. Just nuts to think about.
Well, and $150 a piece on each side of the offense for Jalen Hurts. $150 passing, $150 rushing. I mean, that's a hell of a game, man.
But I think it was kind of that moment that everybody's been waiting for from the guy that was proclaimed to be the next big thing when he was in high school.
The next Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and his name was being mentioned with the best of all time when he came out of high school. Then he went to Clemson, wins a national title.
He showed every bit of touchdown Jesus that he was.
And Trevor Lawrence has not lived up to it to this point. But when you saw that final drive from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the final drive from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think I just saw Jeff Russ perk up over there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Jeff Russ, favorite team. Where he marches his team down the field, 10 plays, 75 yards, and he was just surgical. I mean, the entire drive. I mean, he was putting whole shot throws under the back or over the backers, under the safeties. He was doing every single thing that you could imagine, creating extra time, off-platform throws. It was incredible, and it was everything that everybody had said. This is what Trevor Lawrence will be and can be, and it was a thing of beauty to watch him in such a short time frame, going in a minute and 58 seconds when you get the ball, or 48 seconds when you get the ball with 2:02 to go, and it's crunch time. He delivered. He delivered. And you
I mean, third and 21, getting it to fourth and five manageable.
That's incredible.
That's a big-time play, man.
And it was his moment where everybody's like, okay, now will we see? And then to run the shovel pass on the two-point conversion.
Ballsy.
It's a little ballsy
that's
call
a ballsy
there.
Call. There's two calls in football that I thought were incredibly ballsy at the red zone this weekend.
What's that?
The shovel pass there. And Caleb Williams' option, how long he stayed at the mesh point against Notre Dame when he set Austin Jones up to get absolutely murdered and walked into the end zone.
Long mesh is the new fad. It's the walk-up mesh. It's good.
It takes a tremendous amount of cojones on both of those plays because there is a very, very tiny window for success.
Speaking of very tiny, the mascot for the Jacksonville Jaguars, too, wearing his Speedo, and it looked like he was naked.
No, that's the Panthers.
I believe his name, as this texture points out, Jackson DeVille is his name.
Oh, that is a fantastic name.
Yeah. He was wearing a Speedo, and everybody's like, is that Chester Cheeto? Is he naked in the back? What is he doing? He was fantastic.
Florida Manning as a mascot.
I saw that and I immediately thought of Will Ferrell from that post 9/11 SNL sketch with the you know, his red, white, and blue banana.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did it. But if you want to know, just we're talking about Zach Wilson, who has lost the locker room, and Mike White, by the way, goes 315 yards.
Looked good.
Yeah, the Bears looked equally bad with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, but Mike White looked good, and his teammates celebrating with him. Zach Wilson probably not going to get that job back.
Remember what we were talking about on Friday, getting that Jets team a quarterback. How good would that team look?
Yeah,
and you got a little glimpse of. Yeah, oh, they look pretty good with a quarterback who can push the ball down the field a little bit.
It was the Bears
the Bears, but still, the offense looked a lot better.
You had that, and then you had Russell Wilson getting cussed out by Mike Purcell. Defensive lineman, which that stuff happens, but you could tell that's genuine frustration.
Oh, did you hear Sean Payton?
Because their offense sucks.
Sean Payton this morning was talking about Mike Purcell because he had Purcell on one of his teams. He goes, "That's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
it's a really nice guy, and for him to see to act like that, kind of tells you exactly because Russ's reaction.
Yeah,
it you could see the fear of God in his eyes.
Like he was like, yeah, I know. We need to be better. Yeah, yeah you do. You only scored 10 points, Russ.
And again, against 4.1 yards per attempt. Oh. My God.
That's what Russell Wilson's attempts were.
That's disgusting.
Against a team that had nothing to play for.
No.
Now, I think what Steve Wilks is 3-0 at home as the head coach, interim head coach for Carolina. But you're playing a team with nothing to play for, and you have a ton to play for because you don't get your pick. You don't get your pick.
No.
Like, this is a game where, like, teams should be losing if you're Carolina because of the fact that...
They want the picks.
The pick goes, gets better.
Yeah.
The tiebreakers because they suck. No. Denver losing that game in the way they did, that was inexcusable.
Back-to-back weeks to Las Vegas and Carolina. I mean, if you're Denver looking at that schedule and those two games are there and you fumble both those horribly, oof.
But both Wilson, Zach and Russ, have lost their locker rooms. Here is Jacksonville safety Andrew Wingard talking about his quarterback and his coach.
I'm just so happy for Trevor because, A, he had to deal with Urban Meyer last year as a rookie, and I don't even know if he had a rookie year. And to see the growth he's made, not just on the field, but just like his preparation, his demeanor, all that. And you knew he's, you know, when the rock breaks, it's not that one chip. It's all the chips that stacked up before that, and I'm so happy for him. That throw on fourth down to Zay was like, I knew we were winning the game, honestly. Like, I could feel it. That was so cool.
And then you believed in your coach all that year, and for him to go for two, what was that like when he does it?
The stones on that guy, it's like, I would die for Doug Peterson, I swear. I would run into battle with Doug Peterson, 100%. I love the guy. And, just his attitude, you know, it's like you go, you're 3-7, and it's like, you know, you want to make playoffs and stuff, and it's like, he hasn't changed his attitude whatsoever. It's like, we come into work, we keep working, we just keep chipping away, and eventually it's going to pay off, and it did today. And it's like the feeling in the locker room is just awesome. I love this team.
You could say the same about you haven't had the easiest go of it at times in Jacksonville. Yep. How about the play you made to punch that loose?
I just love football. I love playing football.
Yeah.
And you don't think there's nothing to explain it. You just go out and play, and eventually, you know, crazy stuff like that happens. It's like I practiced that for 25 years.
How great is that? I mean, Andrew Wingard, he's been there since 2019, so he saw the end of Marone, he saw Urban Meyer, he came in there right after they had actually a good year, and then he's been through some mess, and they get a win like that. Think of how highly he speaks of Trevor Lawrence right there, and how low he speaks of Urban Meyer.
Yes. I don't even know if he had a rookie year.
He had to be here through Urban Meyer. Like, that's an all-encompassing thing. It's like, yeah, Urban Meyer. He had to deal with Urban Meyer. Whoa.
I mean, just it truly is incredible when you think about the journey that Lawrence has had, right? Yeah. Because he was supposed to be the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And this performance, this is what you expect of a guy like this. I know how difficult it is for these guys, particularly first-year guys, coming into bad organizations, bad teams, to be productive. The best of all time have had, whether it's Troy Aikman, what did he go, 2-14 is his rookie year, I want to say. Manning led the league in interceptions. I mean, there's so many Hall of Famers.
Set a record.
That just get the crap kicked out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because rookie quarterbacks are, like every sport, with the exception of maybe baseball. Rookies are supposed to suck.
Yeah.
The difference between the college game, the professional game, in the NFL is just night and day. And so for him to have experienced that with Urban Meyer, who's not getting you prepared for the NFL, who's not building you up, who's not getting you the experience that you need, it's not even a redshirt year because you're just getting your ass handed to you and you're not getting the reinforcement.
Uh-huh.
To all of a sudden flip that to Doug Peterson, that has got to be as big a switch as it exists in the NFL.
And this is going to be the really interesting part for him. Like, coaching means so damn much in football.
It probably means more than in any sport.
No, it does. It does mean more than any other sport. Yeah, it's like without a doubt. And, like, to tie it back to, you know, the Oregon State thing, like, this goes back to, you know, the coaching miscues that happened for Oregon. Dan Lanning was honest all season long.
Yes.
Like, there will be times where I screw up, and that will be on me. I just hopefully don't screw up again and again and make the same mistakes twice. Like, that is that was signaled all throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, it sure was different.
They didn't make the same mistakes.
In each three of their losses, it was. But there were coaching miscues that did cost Oregon. Mm-hmm. Coaching matters tremendously, whether it's Trevor Lawrence or even like Tua down in Miami.
My God.
Because Mike McDaniel, I saw there's a story out about how Mike McDaniel, when he got the job, one of the first things he did is he found 700 clips to prove to Tua that he was a good quarterback.
That he was that dude.
Because he felt like Tua was broken. Mm-hmm. And there's an article that is kind of outlining how Tua would like look in the mirror and ask himself, am I a good quarterback? Am I a good football player?
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty broken. But after he did that with the 700 clips and sat down with Tua and said, hey, here's 700 reasons why I believe you're great, he went and he did it with the management of the Miami Dolphins and mm-hmm. said, don't try to trade him. This is going to be our guy. We're going to ride with him, and here's why I see I can do great things.
This is
things
what we can
him.
Do with him.
Like, coaching matters,
yeah.
And it means so much on so many different levels from – whether it is schematically like Doug Peterson and getting guys open on that fourth down and five,
mm-hmm.
or it is just the mental side of it, and whether that is Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence or Mike McDaniel with Tua. Like, it means so damn much to connect with those guys between the years to maximize what they get. That's coaching. It's X's and O's and your psychologist, too.
Perfect example, tying it back to Oregon. Bo Nix at Auburn.
Yep.
What was he? Bo Nix on the road. What was he?
Mm-hmm.
Here at Oregon, he not only did he grow and mature, but you had Dillingham, who had a relationship with him, who continued to build it, continued to foster it, continued to grow it, and he broke him of some of the nastiness, and they grew together.
Yep.
It sounds so difficult sometimes, but when you see it happen, particularly with these younger coaches who seem to relate to players more recently, like a McDaniel, like a Dillingham. Like, you're just seeing this happen more and more and more. The way Saleh treats his guys,
mm-hmm.
the way Dable treats his guys. You're seeing the relationship and the connection with players mattering more and more and more yep. as we go along.
I think both Lanning and Smith, both sides of Oregon and Oregon State,
they got
coaches that understand that.
Yes.
They absolutely do. All right, 503-250-1080. That's a fan text line. We wrap up this Monday next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080, the Fan.
All right, getting you set for the rest of Monday.
Yep.
Final thoughts on the weekend of mayhem in college football?
Selfishly, it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend for me. It could not have gone any better.
Because USC won and...
absolute chaos everywhere else.
Yeah, there was
just,
chaos
just
everywhere.
Just chaos reigned supreme.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd look at this and... The Pac-12 season ending with the Apple Cup with two teams that... are just in a rivalry game, so everything means
more.
Everything to those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that two other fan bases were on pins and needles watching
mm-hmm.
their fate, Ducks linked with Cougs, Utes with the Huskies.
It worked
and
as a
Christ
like, cross match.
Whoa.
Yep.
So that was a fun finish to the weekend.
Fantastic year for the Pac-12, too.
I think I look at, and we talked about this when we were breaking down the game in hour number one, and I think it is where I stand on this game. It is not mutually exclusive that Oregon melted down and Oregon State won that football game.
No.
And found a way for a comeback for the ages. They both happened, and it happened in a heartbreaking fashion for Oregon. But if you are a Beaver fan, that is going to be one you remember for a long time.
Oh,
down 21 points yeah. with, 4 minutes to play in the third quarter. And
it felt over.
They don't throw an effing pass the rest of the game, and they win. They win. And
yeah.
Oregon, in their vaunted offensive line, that is good. Like, and if anybody wants to say, oh, yeah, Oregon overrated. No, Oregon's offensive line still really damn good.
Yeah, just Oregon State To be blunt, they
bowed their back on the 5-yard line and said, no. You give me Oregon's offensive line with 5 yards to go and 4 downs to get there.
You're going to take it more often than not.
You're getting there 9 times out of 10. But in that game, in that moment, Oregon State said, no, we have all the momentum in the world. That was a hell of a win for Oregon State.
Oh, it is. And now you've got 4 teams at 9-3 in the conference. And nobody's going to get a bad bowl game.
Nobody is.
It's crazy. You're going to have 6 teams get good bowl games out of the Pac-12.
Yep.
Has that ever happened before?
No. It happens every year.
No, not...
You
not,
fill those bowl games.
Not this good. When was the last time the Pac-12 had 6 teams at 9-3 or better?
Oh, 9-3 or better, yeah, but their bowl games are all the same.
But I mean, like, you're...
Yeah, no, this is great for the conference.
You were in a position you have maybe never been in.
Yeah, it's great. It's good for the outlook of the whole Pac-12. All right, we'll be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Up next, you got Primetime with Isaac Tsuk. Have a great Monday. See you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.